Mark chapter 11. Amen. Today is Palm Sunday, by the way. I forgot to mention that earlier. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's amen. But we're thankful again for the blessing of the Lord. We're going to go to Mark chapter 11. If you have a Bible in your hand, go there. And again, put your finger at Zechariah chapter 9. Amen. If you don't have a Bible, you can look to the screen. Amen. Mark 11, verse 1. Everybody have it. Say amen. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. And he said unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? You say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And when they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is the Lord that cometh, is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 says, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Praise God. They're going to blast the shofar. We want you to give the Lord, amen, a shout of praise for his word today. Come on, let's bless him. Of Jesus. Amen. As he comes into Jerusalem just before his crucifixion. But we also realize, amen, that it is just before the Passover. Amen. Which was ultimately fulfilled by the crucifixion. Amen. And the resurrection of Jesus. So there's a lot of things, amen, that are taking place here. Amen. And the majority, amen, probably none of those who were present outside of Jesus himself was truly aware of what God was doing. Amen. God used everything about the Passover, amen, as a sign of his covenant. We know the Passover, amen, is when God's people were in bondage and in slavery to Pharaoh in Egypt. God raised up Moses, a deliverer. Amen. And he sent Moses in to Pharaoh and said, Let my people people go. Amen. We know there's a lot of, amen, details, praise God, about that. Amen. But we've got to go back to that first Passover, amen, where God delivered Israel from out of Egypt in order to understand really what God was doing in this present time in chapter 11. Amen. It's imperative that we kind of take a journey back for just a minute, amen, to where Israel was delivered in Egypt. Amen. We know that God sent 10 plagues, amen, unto Pharaoh and unto Egypt, because Pharaoh hardened his heart. Excuse me, and he refused to let God's people go. So God sent the Pharaoh, amen, plagues upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. And we know that the very last plague was the death of the firstborn. Amen. And we know that the whole purpose of Moses being there and the plagues, praise God, was to reveal the glory and the purpose of deliverance for God's people. So that last plague, the plague of the death of the firstborn, we understand that God told Israel, amen, he said, I want you to take a lamb. Everyone take a lamb into your house. Amen, he said, I want you to sacrifice the lamb. Amen, and he said, I want you, after you sacrifice the lamb and you cook it, amen, you bake it. And we know that they were to eat it, but he said, I want you to take the blood of the lamb and I want you to apply it to, amen, the lintel or the above doorpost and to the doorpost or those on either side. And he said, amen, when I see the blood, if the blood is there, when I send the death angel, the destroyer, as the word calls it, amen, when it passes through, amen, he said, I will pass over you, amen. But listen, he said, I will pass over the door and not let the angel enter into your house. And your firstborn will not die. They will be spared. Hallelujah. He said, praise God. Amen. Did I give you Exodus 12, 22? Amen. I did. Let's go to Exodus 12, 22. Amen. And he said, you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel, which is the above doorpost, and the two side posts, with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out the door of his house until the morning. Amen. I want us to look at what this scripture says here in Exodus 12. This is God speaking, amen, to the children of Israel, giving them instruction, amen, about this night when the death angel was going to pass through. Amen. I want us to look at, notice the word basin. Amen. It's spelled now B-A-S-I-N, but looking at the word basin, amen, he said the blood that is in the basin. He didn't tell them to put blood in a basin. He said the blood that is in the basin. This is very specific, amen, of what God's saying. Amen. You know that nothing is in the Word, amen, by coincidence. And everything God has in the Word is there for, amen, a specific purpose. Amen. This thing that God said, amen, to dip that bunch of hyssop in the blood that is in the basin, this is because it was due to an ancient practice, amen, that was already established for the worship of gods and pagan idols. So this was something that was already in place, something that was already established. It was an ancient practice, amen, praise God, that was already established. Now you understand, I want us to listen to me for just a minute. We're going to move, amen, quickly today, but I want us to understand what the Lord is saying. Now, every family, we know that, amen, especially in Egypt, there was a lot of deities that were worshipped. There was a lot of pagan gods, amen, that were worshipped. worship. They worship the, amen, the ground. They worship the sun. They worship the moon. Amen. They worship the goddess of, amen, fertility. There is a lot of deities that were worshipped. And so whatever particular deity that the household, amen, worshipped, amen, that was worshipped by that family, that deity was believed to protect the home and to look out after all of the members of the household. So whatever God that they worshipped, or I can say that's God with a lowercase g, amen, but whatever deity they worshipped, amen, amen, they believed that that deity would protect them. In addition to that, they would make sacrifices, amen, to these deities at the entrance to the home or at the door, or we specifically say at the threshold. So at the threshold of the door of that home, they would make sacrifice at the threshold. They would even carve, amen, the symbols and the images of that deity on the outside of their doorposts. Amen. The ancient thresholds were designed that there, we talked about this, amen, once before, but it's what the Lord has laid on my heart today. If they were designed with a trough, amen, that was cut out in between the two side doorposts. So at the threshold, there was a trough, amen, that was cut out, amen. And there, as they sacrificed, amen, an animal unto their deity, they would do it at the threshold. But there was also at the threshold of these ancient homes, amen, outside of a trough. Everybody know what a trough is? A little groove, amen, was from side to side. But there was also a man cut out in the threshold, a hole, a man that was, a man carved out, that was, a man about as deep, a man probably, I don't know, as a bowl, but it was called the basin, a man. And so as they sacrificed the animal unto their deity, a man, they would pour the blood, a man, into the basin, and that blood would run out on either side of that trough, or on either side of that groove, amen, so that the blood of that deity that was sacrificed to that deity was now upon the threshold, amen. So this threshold, right, it was later referred to as a threshold covenant, amen. But this rite was, it was practiced in all of the ancient Oriental cultures, which included Egypt. There are, amen, recordings, amen, that practice this, amen, in Egypt. And so the nation of Israel would have been familiar with this practice because they too worshipped, amen, the gods and the deities, amen, of Egypt while they were there. Not all of them, but it was there. But they would have been familiar with this practice. So when God said to them, amen, that I want you to dip the bunch of hyssop in the basin and I want you to apply it to the door, it was specifically because there already would have been a basin and a trough, amen, and the door would have been the necessity for the blood. Are you with me so far this morning? Just stay with me. Hallelujah. Amen. And so the idea of this threshold, but here, more than not, they were also offered human sacrifices instead of animal sacrifices. Amen. Especially the blood of the firstborns. Amen. It was not uncommon for them to offer their firstborn unto the deity for which the household worshiped. So it was not uncommon for the firstborn, amen, to be sacrificed. Hence, amen, God specifically saying, amen, if the blood is applied to the door, amen, the death angel will not take the first, your firstborn. Are you with me? Amen today. So that idea of the threshold covenant, amen, with the blood sacrifice being poured out into the trough, it symbolized that, amen, the dwelling was dedicated to and therefore protected by the deity the god or the goddess, amen, that they sacrificed to, and only that deity was welcome in the home. So no other deity or no other, amen, god was welcome into that home except for the one that they sacrificed and poured the blood out to. Amen. No other deity was welcome. Amen. And every other deity was considered the enemy of the household, and that would result in death. So if anything other than worship unto that deity for which that blood was sacrificed, if it would cross the threshold, amen, it would result in death. Hallelujah. But when hatred was shown, amen, to the deity, amen, so here's what you had to do. Amen, when you entered into the house to show honor, amen, unto that deity, you would have to step over or pass over the threshold. Amen. Even a sense of leaping over the threshold. But if hatred was shown, amen, to the deity of that household, instead of stepping over it, they would trample or stomp on the threshold. And that was a direct indication, hallelujah, that they were trampling on the god of that home. Let's look at Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, in the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their masters' houses with violence and deceit. This is why this was prophesied in Zephaniah, because it was an ancient custom. It was a practice. Amen. So if you were showed hatred or disdain for the god that was worshipped in that home, amen, you would leap on the threshold instead of leaping over it. That word leap is translated in the Hebrew, trample. So you would trample on it or stomp. Amen. So I said that's Old Testament. I'm glad you said it, because here's some New Testament. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29. It says, oh, how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. That's why, amen, the writer of Hebrews spoke about trampling the blood, because if the blood of Jesus, amen, was, hallelujah, the sacrifice of that household, and somebody came and instead of stepping over and giving honor, but they trampled on it. If I can put that in hillbilly terms, you refuse the blood of Jesus, you trample underfoot the Son of God, and you count the blood covenant, which God sanctified and made it holy, as if it does not matter. Somebody help me. When I see the blood, I will pass over the door. Oh, somebody, give the Lord a shout for the blood of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm trying to preach and just laying a foundation, but I'm having a hard time. So those who did not honor or make threshold covenant with the household's God, that house was not protected by the deity. And it was believed that the angry deity would take the life of the firstborn or the first person to cross the bloodless threshold. Okay. You see the correlation there? God wasn't even saying anything to the Egyptians that they didn't know. Now think about this. Ooh, hallelujah. I got to do a sidebar right here. I'm trying to lay my foundation. Think about this. The Egyptians had their sacrifices made unto their gods. And they felt like, and they believed that their gods would protect their household. Somebody help me. So they already had the blood in their basin, amen, and in their door, amen, in the threshold of their door, amen, no doubt, they went to bed, went to their houses, and we know it got dark, amen, darkness came over Egypt except for those houses of the Jews. There was light in the Jews, in Israel's houses. But imagine in the confidence that they had. Oh, our God or our goddess will protect us. This is just another, amen, another demise of this so-called God of Moses. But that night, when the death angel passed over, the Bible says, scream! To be heard all across Egypt in the darkness. Why? Because the blood of their deity did not protect them. But every one of Israel who had the blood of the Lamb placed in the threshold, God passed over it. Hallelujah. We told you before, and that means he went by it and said, hey, that means what he say. He said, I'll over your door. I'm going to come in your house and I'm going to forbid the death angel from coming. Oh, the blood of Jesus. There's power, power, wonder working power in the blood. And what they believed came to pass. Their firstborn was killed. Yep. Hence the cries and the screams coming from their houses. The surrogate, the custom of the groom carrying the bride over the threshold. That's where that custom comes from. I told you, everything the enemy does is an imitation of what God has already said. There's nothing new under the sun. What's the meaning when the groom carried the bride over the threshold? It signifies that he's taking responsibility of her protection, and he's going to care for her as well as their children. Amen. It's equivalent to that ancient blood threshold covenant. Carries her over, steps over the threshold. I doubt they do that much anymore. But that's where it comes from. I think in Africa they jump over a broom. Jews break a glass. But that's where carrying the bride over the threshold comes from. So my point is that God did not create something new and unheard of when he told the Israelites to put the blood of the Passover lamb upon their doorposts so that the death angel would pass over them. He was already using a custom that they were familiar with. So the blood of the Passover lamb would have to be poured in the basin. And it would run out, amen, into that trough, there in the threshold of their door. And then they would take the hyssop. And they would put it in. I know you see pictures of them holding a little bowl. Because that's, you know, our idea of a basin, right? A basin, a big bowl. And that's what it is. But when you understand again, it's why context matters. Right? God will fulfill. So when they would take that, and that blood would, they would pour it into that basin, and it would run into that trough. And then they would take it. They had to take it with the hyssop, which is a tree, a plant. And they would take it and dip it in there, and then they would apply it. It was already right there. And so then when the death angel passed and God saw the blood applied. See, the blood's there. You just got to apply it. Despite popular religious belief that everybody ain't saved, and everybody ain't going to heaven, it still takes the blood of Jesus. It still takes in mind repentance of sin. It still takes in mind sanctifying your life. Amen. Allowing the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. To give you strength and power. You feel you. Hallelujah. Seek after the posture of your heart. Holiness without no man shall see the Lord. Holiness is not how long your dress is, how long your sleeves are, how short your hair is, how long it is. That ain't holiness. That's an outward appearance. Amen. There's balance in everything. Hallelujah. But holiness is when you honor what God calls holy. And the only thing that makes you worthy of that is the blood of Jesus. He said your righteousness is as filthy rags. Amen. That's translated dirty menstrual rags. That's how much your works and your righteousness counts in this walk, in our relationship. Let's look at Matthew 26, verse 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament. When Jesus was at the Passover Seder, the Last Supper with the disciples, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. I showed you that to say this. That word shed is translated in the Hebrew to mean poured out. So my blood, that was poured out. Come on, somebody. It wasn't just, dribble down. Amen. It did, and it rained down. Hallelujah. But how many different places was, amen, the blood shed? Amen. When he was beaten, praise God. Amen. At Pilate's hall, as he walked, there was blood that dripped all the way. Amen. Up to Golgotha. Amen. Praise God. All the way up to Calvary. Amen. And when he got to Calvary, and they put the cross up, hallelujah, and nailed him there, more blood fell there. Hallelujah. Praise God. God said, when that blood is poured out, hallelujah, that is the only blood that is for the remission of sins. So that signified that the home was dedicated to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and no other God, and that only God was welcome in that house. Has the blood been applied to your house? Come on. As he, amen, and as proof of that welcome, God would protect those who are inside that dwelling. God used the last plague to let Pharaoh and his people know that he is the only deity. Because all those other bloodlines meant nothing. Because the angel of death, hallelujah, trampled. Amen. He didn't pass over their thresholds. He trampled over top. Hallelujah. My Lord, I don't want to get ahead of myself. But he trampled over their blood. But those that have the blood of the Lamb applied. Hallelujah. The devil, oh God, stepped over. He passed over their threshold. And he said, I'm here. I'm in your house. Ain't a devil out of hell that has the authority and the power to destroy you. You need the blood. You need the blood. My Lord, nothing but the blood. There's power in the blood. So we can see that there's a precedent that God is setting for covenant with his people. So see, they got it. They didn't have to go in and have a council meeting and say, I wonder why God's having us put the blood in the basin. And I wonder why the blood has to be over the door. Why can't we just wear a t-shirt? Or why can't we just post all kinds of spiritual stuff on, amen, Facebook and Instagram and X or Twitter, whatever it's called. Hallelujah. I don't have amen, Instagram or Twitter. Hallelujah. But why can't we just have a bumper sticker? Why can't we just show up on Sunday and give? Why can't we just show up to Hope on High and serve? Amen. Why can't we just be there? Because without the blood, there is no remission of sin. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Help me in this place. They didn't have to question, well, gee whiz, I wonder why. The only thing they might have wondered is why I went home.
Yeah.
But you could go there because if you really understand it, and we know that it became a male lamb or a ram lamb. And you understand one of the gods that Egypt worshipped was ruled by a ram. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that's just another in the enemy's face. Just take a lamb. Come on. It ain't going to protect you, but it's going to protect mine.
Come on now.
Are you with me? Hallelujah. So, they knew, because the ancient custom was already in place, they knew that man, we know what that means. That this is the God of our house. Amen? So, God stood literally, if you will, in the presence of that death angel and went, not this house. Not here. Because he stepped over, he passed over their door. See, we think he passed by it. We told you that before. That's not what it is. He passed over the threshold. He got in the house. That's how you get it in. It's by the blood. Not by what you have on or what you post or all. Come on, hallelujah. Ain't about having spiritual knowledge or even knowing the word. So he said the sign is the blood. And without it, there will be no protection. Everybody say no protection. So this was the mark or ownership of Israel as his people. That was his mark of ownership. You're mine. Amen? But in simpler terms, it was covenant. This was the mark or sign that, amen, of his ownership of his people. And to treat the blood covenant as common has insulted the Holy Spirit and has made the grace a hindrance instead of a help. Let's reread Hebrews 10:29, now in the complete Jewish Bible. Think how much worse will be the punishment deserved by someone who has trampled underfoot the Son of God, who has treated as something common the blood of the covenant which made him holy, and who has insulted the Spirit, giver of God's grace. That puts it in, that makes this a little bit, relatable. Are you with me? Praise God. So think of how much worse the punishment will be by those who trample underfoot the blood which has made them holy. Come on. That covenant. We know Jesus' blood was poured out once and for all. That's for everybody in this room. Nobody in here not worthy of the blood. There's not one person in this building not worthy of the blood. I don't care how bad you've been, how wrong you've done, how many mistakes you made. I don't care what kind of mess, amen, your life is in right now. Nobody is not worthy of the blood, because Jesus. Now, no other sacrifice, come on, is needed except the blood of the Lamb. Even the use of the hyssop. We preached on this years ago. Remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross? And they dipped the sponge in the vinegar. It was to numb him. It was to try to help the pain. They took and they took, dipped the sponge, and then they saturated what? The hyssop branch. And they raised it up to Jesus. What did they use to apply the blood in Egypt but a hyssop branch? Are you with me? I'm telling you, God did not leave anything out. So we even see the use. I preached on the hyssop 10 years ago. Maybe we'll preach on it here again sometime soon. But amen, just before, when did they do that? Just before he said, it is finished. As soon as the blood was applied, listen, when the blood was dipped in when the hyssop was dipped in the basin, they're safe. Come on, if you're going to dip it in the basin, put it on the doorpost. Come on, somebody. Listen, if you're going to show up every Sunday, amen, walk in the favor of the covenant. Don't just live half-hearted. Don't just live, amen, like a fake Christian, but give it all you got and let the power of the blood, amen, bring to you the hope, the peace, the joy, the health, the prosperity, the healing, the deliverance, the peace, the joy. Apply it to the Hallelujah. And then the moment it was applied to the little post, the covering, it was finished.
Come on, top right.
Yep.
Right. Sister Mary Jo, right then, the anxiety ended. Right then, the burden lifted. Right then, the taskmaster was stripped of his power to overcome them. I believe it's Luke that specifically talks about that. Maybe John, I don't know. Don't matter, as long as I know it's in there. That's all I know. Everyone was gathering for the feast. And one of the first things we know that happens is the lamb has to be chosen. There was a lamb that was chosen for every household, and then there was a lamb chosen for the nation. So there was a national lamb, and then there was a lamb for every household. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And so they were preparing to get the lambs for sacrifice. Now, just coincidentally, we know through history and through the studying of the word that one of the things they did in preparing for the bringing in of the Passover lamb was they cut palm branches and they stood in the street, amen, and they would wave palm branches as the high priest came in bearing the lambs. Come on, somebody, because in there, in one of those lambs in there was going to be just perfect for their sacrifice at Passover. Are you with me? Because we know God told them, you do this every year on the same date, on the 14th of Nisan, right? The 14th day of April, every year, they were to celebrate Passover. So 4 days before Passover is when they would bring the lambs in to inspect them, to choose that one which was perfect for the Passover. The Bible says that right about all in the same time frame, just so happened. I love it because this morning in class, Luann had a map of the Mount of Olives.
Yeah.
You know, we're in class, and she was showing the proximity of Jerusalem and all of the things.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I always get giddy when God does that kind of stuff. Because her and I told you before, I don't tell her what I'm preaching. She may ask me once in a while a question about what she's studying for class, amen. But we don't confer, amen. Rarely, praise God. I don't ever tell her what I'm preaching. I don't ever remember if I ever have or not. I just don't talk about it. You get the devil in the room to mess with me or anybody else.
Right.
Amen?
She showed the proximity from the Mount of Olives. And the Bible says that just so happened, Jesus and the disciples got just outside Jerusalem by the Mount of Olives. Ooh, Lord. And Jesus stopped there and he sent two of the disciples. He said, I want you to go find a colt donkey. You're going to find him tied up. And he's never been sat upon. He's never been ridden. And if they ask you what are you doing, tell them it's for your Lord. And bring it to me. See, because this was going to fulfill Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Take us back there again, if you would, please. I read that to you. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and he'll be riding upon an ass, which is a donkey. Uh-huh. And upon the colt of a donkey. Not just a donkey, but the colt of a donkey that has never been ridden on. So once again, here goes God. And anybody that would know the Torah and know the scripture, go back and say, oh, well, wait a minute. Okay. The Bible says they would put their garments on it for him to sit. Why did they put their garments on that? Because that was another ancient custom to show honor, especially to royalty. That's why they laid their garments in the street. They took their garments off because it showed honor. And so they laid their garments on that colt before Jesus got upon it. Now this again is the same time that the Passover lamb would be brought into the city by the high priest. Look at God.
Look at God.
Look at God. And in case you didn't know it, Jesus is called the Passover Lamb. He is the Lamb of God. He was the Passover Lamb who was sacrificed nationally once and for all, Jew and Gentile, any that would believe. So now, here's the parade. I call it a parade. Here's the processional. Here's the march, whatever. Listen, Passover is one of the feasts that were solemn. Amen. But this was, amen, a time of, amen, excitement, because in there was the Lamb, amen, that was going to represent God being with his people. Are you with me? Remember, when I see the blood, I'll pass over the threshold, and I'll be the God that protects you and covers you and provides for you and heals you. The Lord that healeth thee, Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that will be your shepherd, Jehovah Rohi. I am, oh hallelujah, the God of your peace, Jehovah Shalom. I am the God of your victory, Jehovah Nissi. I am the God that will take care of you. When I see the blood, I own you.
Yes.
Come on, you go from being a slave to sin to a slave of righteousness. That's what Paul said. Amen. So we switch owners. No more does the enemy in hell own me. But now, hallelujah, God and Jesus own me by the blood. Are you hearing me? So at the same time, the high priest is carrying a lamb. And they got the palm branches. The Bible says they see Jesus coming riding on a donkey. And they see the garments. Now remember, it's a colt. It's not even a full-grown donkey. It's a colt. Jesus is 33 years old. I'm sure he wasn't overweight because he didn't have ho-hos and ding-dongs and drinkies and processed sugar. Amen. Come on. And rich flour and all of that stuff to eat. Help us, Jesus. The living God. Yeah. Help me, Lord. Are you with me?
Yeah.
But nonetheless, so the Bible says they see Jesus coming. Here he is coming from the Mount of Olives. Glory to God. That's where he left.
when he ascended back, and the Bible says that's where he's going to come back. You want to say, oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. So here they see him coming. And they know enough about him and enough believe in him that now they get their eyes on him. And they begin to wave the palm branch. And they cry, Hosanna! 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 Deliver us! That means save us! Deliver us! Blessed is the coming kingdom of David! Here comes our king! He's the one that's going to rescue us from the hold of the Roman government! Whoop, hallelujah! Little did they know, they thought it was an earthly thing. But little did they know that they were, while they were waving palm branches at the lambs coming in for inspection, they were crying, blessed is he who comes in the name of Adonai, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. They were getting him ready to be that Passover Lamb of God that would not only reign on an earthly throne, but it was going to reign on a heavenly throne. Not only would he free them from the tyranny of the government, but he would free them from the tyranny of sin. Somebody shout, Hosanna! Now, a donkey was a sign of peace and humility versus a horse, which was a sign of war. That's what he's coming back
with. Yes.
Glory to God, riding on that white horse. His vesture dipped in olive oil. Nope. His vesture, dipped in blood. And written on his side, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh, somebody help me.
Glory.
So this was an animal of peace that was humble in nature. Zechariah said lowly. Come on. Zechariah said not only on a donkey, but the colt of a donkey. Ooh, Jesus. So here comes the King of Kings, the soon-to-be Passover lamb, the ultimate sacrifice for all the sins of the people, riding on the symbol of peace, bringing peace to the nation. See, they knew what a donkey represented. And so they're thinking, oh, here he comes. Garments are on the donkey. The donkey, that's peace and humility. And here he comes. There's our king. He was bringing peace, all right. Once and for all. Are you hearing me? Now here's what you got to understand. I'm trying to finish. I'm about done. It's been a while since I said I got six more times. It's been a while since I said that. You have been here before, or may not know this. I have seven times to say I'm finished. That's God's perfect numbers. That's only one.
You don't have to say it.
But a donkey that was never ridden on was considered unbroken or untamed. That means it was not trained or broken in to carry a rider. And here Jesus said, find one that is not trained, that no one has ever sat upon. That's why it had to be a colt. Because you trained a colt before you rode on it, and you let it get a little bit bigger, a little bit older, and you broke it. Broke it in. They couldn't put a saddle. They couldn't. It just wasn't something that they did. So now, Jesus says, "Bring me a colt that has not been trained, or that has not been broken in to carry a rider. See, because they can be difficult to handle. And they typically could react negatively to being touched, let alone ridden on or a saddle put on. But this one allowed Jesus to sit right on top of it.
Yeah.
And carried him in. Come on, somebody.
Come on.
That had not been broken in or tamed. So this young donkey was such an animal that Jesus rode on. Now, it was an ancient custom that as a sign of ownership of horses, camels, and donkeys, they would mark them. And they would mark them with a tav. You that have heard me talk about the Hebrew alphabet or the alphabet. Tav is a letter in the Hebrew alphabet. So when a tav was on the animal, that was a signal or a sign and a seal of ownership, and it meant that it wasn't wild or untamed. So this colt that Jesus rode upon would not have had a tav on it because it had not been trained or broken in yet. So therefore, nobody would attempt to get on it except Jesus. Are you with me? Now you stay with me for just a few more minutes. Look at your neighbor and say, listen to me. The tav is the last letter of the alphabet, or the alphabet in Hebrew. And guess what that letter means in the Hebrew? Guess what the word tav means in the Hebrew? Mark or sign.
All right. Well.
So that's why the tav was put, you would think, well, why wouldn't they put the family's initials on it? Or why wouldn't they? It didn't matter. The ownership was the what was the idea that it was tamed and that it wasn't wild and that, amen, it could be trusted. Amen. Hallelujah. So it could be used for its purpose. Amen. So that the tav is the last letter, amen, in the Hebrew alphabet, and it means mark or sign in the language. You gotta pull that up for me, if you will. The ancient tav, just like the English language, writing letters and everything changes, but the ancient tav looked like a cross.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that.
Right.
It moved on and it kind of looked like an X or it really was kind of slanted a little bit, but so it was this kind of tilted. And then, of course, it moved on, as you see here, and it began to take on this shape. And then today, that's what the tav looks like in the Hebrew alphabet. That's the last letter in the alphabet. So that cross shape, interestingly enough, again, when you think of that, of course, you instantly, my brain does, goes to the cross. But as it went into modern, which was not too long, probably after Jesus would have came, and it took on this modern look, scholars began to look at it, and they began to see something. Because see, keep in mind that every year they were reminded, they remembered God's deliverance. God said it. Divine appointments, that's what the feasts are for, is to bring remembrance to what he has done. So every year they would sit and they would go through the Passover Seder and they would recount the deliverance, amen, God's people. And somebody, amen, a scholar, amen, probably a rabbi, amen, looked at the tav, amen, and got the picture of when I see the blood, you take the blood and put it over the doorpost and then down both sides. Amen, I don't believe necessarily that that's what God had in mind, but
amen, if it reminds us, amen, of the blood, hallelujah, then praise God, it's okay in my book. But listen, amen, that mark of ownership, hallelujah, bottom line is, what did he say? He said the blood will be a mark, or it will be a sign unto you when it is over the door. So it only makes sense, amen, that they would think the letter Tav, which in the Hebrew means a mark or a sign, would be over the door. So the Tav on the donkey, amen, would have signified ownership, would have signified that somebody, amen, owned it. That donkey was, amen, a representative of peace. And nobody had ever rode on that donkey before Jesus got on it. Nobody would ever ride it again. Hallelujah, like him. What did he do? He marked it. Hallelujah. What did he take ownership of? The peace that belonged to God's people. The shalom of God. He marked it. And from that point, Jesus would be the end of the struggle and the torment. And when it was all done, he would own God's people. His sacrifice of blood would bring an end to man's works. So the mark over the door said, when I see it, I'll step in. I'll pass over the threshold. I'll be your God. I'll take ownership. I'll be your protector, your provider, your keeper. When Jesus sat upon that donkey, and I see here, you gotta understand, look. Jesus is coming in. We know what day it was. We know the date based on the custom, because they brought the Passover lambs in 4 days before Passover. Passover was the 14th of the month, so this was the 10th of the month, the 10th of Nisan, or April in our calendar, that they were bringing him in, because they took 4 days to inspect, to find the perfect lamb without spot, without blemish. And when Jesus came into Jerusalem, where did he end up going? Standing in Pilate's hall, being inspected, trying to find sin and wrong in him. And as we saw this morning on that video in class, Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Perfect. He passed inspection. All that was left was to be sacrificed, his blood to be poured out. Now, we talked about this past week a little bit. We mentioned it in class. We know that Jesus was not crucified on Friday. It's impossible. It was prophesied that as Jonah was in the belly of the whale, predicting the grave. When he died on Friday, he wasn't in there three nights.
Right.
Only 2 nights. You could maybe give it 3 days, but you can't say 3 nights. So when you understand what's happening here, Jesus was actually crucified on a Thursday afternoon at 3 o'clock, at the ninth hour. Do I need to remind you what time the Passover ran? Throat was slit and the blood was poured out every year at the same time at Passover, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So at the very time that the Passover lamb's throat was slit and the blood was poured out, Jesus cried, it is finished. And the mark of his blood was forever
forever put into the annals of time.
Yes.
And nothing could wipe it away.
No.
What's the Bible say about him? He's Alpha and Omega.
Yeah.
In the Hebrew, Alpha, he's the Aleph and the Tav. He's the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the end. Oh, come on, somebody. What's the Tav mean? It's the mark. Amen. It means the end of it. Hallelujah. So he was the end to all the tyranny. So guess what? When Jesus cried, "It is finished," and the mark of the blood was established on the hallelujah in the heavens. Amen. Peace was established. Hallelujah. Now, depression, anxiety, fear no longer has permission to step in or to step over or pass over the blood into your house. But you now have a divine protection in the blood. Deliverance will come only through the blood. Every demon that was present before the blood, because of the blood, now can be cast out and sent back to where it came from. So in your house, there is peace, and there is joy, and there is hope. That's the mark of the blood.
Yes. Amen.
Can I say this one more thing?
Go ahead.
No, the kids on the resurrection. He is risen, close on there. Your lunch and dinner's waiting to hook the trunk pile low. Listen, see, I've learned when you get to the restaurant a little bit later, the crowd's gone. There's more seats available. You're welcome. So he is the Aleph and the Tav, the Alpha and the Omega. I didn't make that up. That's in the Bible. The Alpha and Omega are the Greek translation from Aleph Tav. And from the Hebrew, he's the Aleph Tav. He's the first and he's the last. It ends with him.
Come on.
The mark of the blood says it's done.
Come on.
When I see the blood, I will pass over your flesh.
Yep.
Ooh, glory to God. That's why I plead the blood every day.
Yes.
I plead the blood over my family. I mean, every one of them off. Amen. I plead the blood over my family. I plead the blood over our homes. I plead the blood over every automobile. I plead the blood over this church, over the church property. I plead the blood over the church family. Hallelujah. And I declare no harm, no danger, no accidents, no damages, no intruders have permission. Hallelujah. To take over. Somebody help me in this place. It's the mark of the blood. But when the destroyer comes, he might have a little bit of effect on the outside, but he can't come in and take my peace, and take my joy, and take my healing, and take my victory. He can't.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When you look at the word truth, if I'd have been smart enough, I'd have put it up on the screen for you. But the word truth. We know Jesus is what? The way?
Truth.
Truth. You know how you spell the word truth in the Hebrew? Aleph Mem Tav. It starts with Aleph, ends with Tav. Truth begins with Jesus, ends with Jesus. You know what the letter Mem, amen, is translated into Hebrew? Means water. You know what the water represents in the Hebrew? Hallelujah. Concealed truth, knowledge. Hallelujah. So in there, in between, Jesus, everything about him, from beginning to end, in between, amen, is everything that God has for us that we need to walk in freedom. It ain't about a denomination. It ain't about a shake and a shout. I'm all about the emotion. But when it comes down, are you marked with the blood? This gift of salvation becomes in covenant with God. And now God has ownership of it. Amen. If it's true, don't lie. But if it's true, look at your neighbor and say, God owns me.
God owns me. Amen.
He owns me. I'm in covenant. That's the mark of the blood. The mark of the blood is ownership. When Jesus said on that donkey, peace, be still.
Yes. Hallelujah.
God. He marked it for all eternity. Now we pass over the threshold as and he owns all the bones, and so he carries me. Come on, he says, I'm your protector. I'm your keeper. I'm your provider. I am your God, and I will take care of you. That's the 12. That's the, oh, I didn't do that. Oh. Of course, that would have been, I forgot. That's just as bad. Right? But you see, this is the oath. This is the 12. This is let them in. It's pronounced a net. That's the word truth. Beginning and end, and in between. It's concealed. Knowledge and wisdom. Revelation. How do you want to look at it? The waters. Oh, hallelujah. And his voice.
Amen.
Is that the sound of what? Many waters.
Amen.
We can just go on.
Yep.
You can't make this stuff up.
Right, right.
Amen.
Amen.
His word. The mark of the blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over your threshold. I will pass by your door. When I see it on the outside, that means it's an end to the slavery. To the torment. Come on. To the work. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, somebody. His righteousness. So they get ready to come to the music. You sing with me all across this place today. The enemy would love nothing more than to trample. I posted something this morning out of Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, where it talks about Jesus making an open display of the enemy, crushing him, putting his foot. Remember victorious kings, when they overcame a kingdom, they would make an open display of the conquered king by putting their foot on their neck and showing, I have defeated them. This is what that means. I posted a thing that said there's bloody footprints. There's a bloody nail prints of a foot. Bloody footprint of nails, I don't know how it goes, on the neck of Satan. Because Jesus trampled over him, saying, you're not God of their house anymore. But when they apply the blood, I become owner. When they apply the blood, when they mark their lives by the blood, the mark of the blood shows the ownership. If you're in this place today, tomorrow. Our life is like a vapor. If you've ever watched a vapor of smoke rise up from a boiling pan of water, it dissipates as quickly as it shows up. God says that's what our life is like. And he said that if we leave this world without the mark of the blood, that our destiny is eternity. It's that plain and simple. The judging is left up to the ultimate judge. But when you're marked by the blood, you put an end to your ways, your thinking, and you let Jesus begin. So if you're here today, if I could get my intercessors to be praying as they begin to get ready to worship.